Right now, it's time for Matter of Fact. It's a regular conversation that we have with the team from Africa Check. When you look at the various stories we encounter, political leaders, NGOs, interest groups, journalists, social media pages, in fact, many of us, just as ordinary citizens, often make claims and express opinions in the public arena based on information that may need some interrogation. And the fact that a statistic... Well, I mean, but now I'm getting sensitive about even saying the fact that when we see statistics, when they're widely used, it doesn't mean that there is research to back them up sometimes. And when there is, that research needs to be understood from the correct perspective. And the sanitary pads crisis is one that entered the public discourse quite forcefully and rightfully so a few years ago. And many people have been moved to act and do something to provide girls with sanitary towels. Earlier on this year, we heard Minister of Women in the Presidency, Bathabile Dlamini, saying that girls, soon after she got into that position, in fact, and she said that girls in primary and secondary schools will soon receive free sanitary towels. And she was addressing Parliament's multi-party women's caucus for the first time in her position as the Minister for Women in the Presidency. But when you look at the track record, this has been binayatweni, as an earlier tweet had said, that for so long, we've been hearing this particular promise. For 7 years, the ANC-led government had promised girls free sanitary towels, but it still hasn't done so. Former President Jacob Zuma had told ANC supporters in Limpopo in 2011 that free sanitary towels would be provided to all women, all, by the way. And female MPs as well from across the political spectrum united not too long ago to send a strong message to Treasury to remove VAT from the cost of sanitary towels, saying that it was overdue and that it is a basic human right. There have been petitions that have circulated. Pressure groups have made appeals. And menstruation is a natural part of life for almost every female on the planet. And the fact that women have to spend thousands of rand on their period whilst free contraception is handed out is absolutely absurd. And this certainly needs to change, because menstruation is a lot harder to refrain from than sex. Okay, it's as simple as that. And we've heard things like 7 million South African girls miss school every month due to a lack of sanitary pads. This is a statement that we will be taking a closer look at this afternoon with Kate Wilkinson. And is this a true reflection of reality? Well, Africa Check has tested this claim. How many girls actually miss school during their menstrual cycle due to worrying about pain, fear of leakage, shame perhaps because they don't have facilities or they don't have sanitary pads, because they can't afford them, and many end up using rags, socks and paper. So what is the real picture as far as this is concerned? Kate, good afternoon. Welcome back.
Thank you.
So let's look at this. The claim has been made that 7 million South African girls miss school every month. Due to lack of sanitary pads.
So this is a claim which was made quite forcefully a couple of years ago, actually when the Minister of Health, Aaron Motsoaledi, was addressing a group of people at the International AIDS Conference in 2016. And his speech was actually interrupted. A group of activists burst into the room. They commandeered the stage. They got in front of the cameras and they held up a number of placards, one of which read that 7 million girls miss school in South Africa because they don't have access to pads or they can't afford pads. And it was then that we looked at the claim, but we're bringing it back today. We're looking at the most recent data and the situation across the continent.
Yes.
Because today, actually, the 28th of May is International Menstrual Hygiene Day. Mm-hmm. And it's a day where people all across the world, the Department of Women today is also holding a special briefing. Lots of people around the world are looking at this issue. And there's always a special focus on how it affects girls.
Yeah.
Because we know that in a country like South Africa, we have a number of challenges when it comes to education. And it can be hard enough for any child to stay in school and do well. Mm-hmm. But we need to know specifically, first of all, if young women and girls in South Africa are facing this challenge. And if they are, how many girls are affected so that we can adequately address the problem and provide interventions which are evidence-based and supported by rigorous research.
So we'll likely hear the 7 million SA girls statement or claim. We'll likely hear it today because, as you said, it is a day that is that's observed observed globally. So where did you start with this? Because the claim was made by activists.
Yeah, so we did a little bit of a background research, mm-hmm. and it was a bit tricky at the time to find the activists. But we saw that it had actually been circling for a number of years. It's one of those claims, and we often look at them, that once they enter the public discourse, they just keep rolling.
Yeah.
And until you can stop that ball and interrogate the data and figure out if it's true, it's just going to keep being used. And mm-hmm. it had been used for a number of years. Way back in 2014, NGOs had started sharing the statistic and using it as part of their advocacy. And we actually went back to one of the NGOs who had started to use this stat, and we asked them, you know, can you tell us how you calculated this? What evidence is it based on?
Mm-hmm.
And they got back to us and they said, we got the information from the 2011 census. And what that showed was that there were 9 million girls aged 11 to 19 in South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And of those, 7 million were in the lower living standards measure. And that's how we estimated that it would be those girls who possibly wouldn't be able to afford pads and could be affected.
Hmm. So it's 9 million. So they say 7 million based on the living standards measure are likely to be affected within that age bracket of 10 to 19.
So they pointed us to the census. We always will double check any stats. So we went to the census and we already found a little bit of a problem with the numbers. So the NGO said there were 9 million girls aged 10 to 19, according to the 2011 census. But when we spoke to Stats SA and they pulled the numbers for us, they actually found that there were 4.8 million girls.
All right.
In that age group. So just more than half what the NGO was claiming.
Mm. So how many girls could be affected then, now that we know which how big this demography is?
Mm. Mm. So unfortunately, there haven't been any surveys conducted in South Africa which have looked specifically at this issue. So we have to do a little bit of creative stats to try and find a number which could reflect reality. So what we did was we went to a more recent data, because going back to 2011 isn't going to tell us much.
Mm-hmm.
We went to the 2016 General Household Survey, which is a survey conducted every year by Stats SA.
Mm-hmm.
And we started big picture. So we said, how many girls are enrolled in school from grade R to matric?
Right.
And when we looked at those figures, we saw that it was around 6.9 million girls.
Mm-hmm.
And based off this figure, it's a bit of a reality check. It's there's no way that it can be 7 million girls like is being claimed.
Mm-hmm.
So we then spoke to doctors and to experts in the field, and we said, from what age can we reasonably assume that, you know, girls are going to start their period, they're going to start menstruating, because under a certain age, this issue isn't going to affect them.
Yes.
And Minister of Health, Aaron Motsoaledi, has said that they have experience of girls as young as 9 starting their periods.
But aren't those outliers?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So most doctors we spoke to said you can be pretty sure that the range is between about 11 and 16.
Mm-hmm.
So we decided to give everyone the benefit of the doubt. And we said, let's take all the girls who are at school in South Africa and take all the girls under the age of 9 out.
Mm-hmm.
But also let's try and isolate girls who could find themselves in financial positions where they can't afford pads.
Right, right.
So what we did in that regard was we looked at girls attending no-fee schools. It's not a perfect measure, but girls who are attending no-fee schools are not paying school fees because either there aren't any school fees, they've been given a fee exemption, or they can't afford to pay school fees. And
mm-hmm.
it's likely these girls who wouldn't be able to afford basic hygiene products.
Right.
And once we do that little bit of math and we shimmy out girls who probably would be okay, we found that it's about 2.6 million girls mm-hmm. aged 9 to 20 who are enrolled in South African schools and attending no-fee schools that are possibly in the situation where they would either miss school or miss classes or hours from the day because they don't have money to buy basic products to allow them to attend school during their period.
Yes. And in fact, one of the claims that had been made at the conference was that they miss out on 25% of learning during the school year. So now we have an estimate, because it's an estimate. Mm. And I think even the choice of words attached to these figures has to be quite accurate. So an estimate of the population that we're speaking about, but then the implication around the impact and how much school they're missing as a result of lack of access to sanitary pads. How do we go there then?
So measuring absenteeism can be a little bit tricky because the Department of Basic Education only really started tracking these numbers in 2015.
Oh, okay.
So we can look at their data, and if we go to 2014, we see that overall, the percentage of pupils that were absent is about 7% in 2014, and the majority of those pupils were absent for about one day.
Wow.
The Western Cape had the highest figures when it comes to absenteeism, but these are general figures, and we're looking at issues which are affecting girls, and unfortunately the department doesn't provide a breakdown for boys and girls. But there is one province which has been doing that, and that's the Western Cape. And they've been tracking these figures in a bit more detail for a number of years. And if we look at the first term of 2016, we can look at a breakdown for that period. And we see that there, for when it went to boys, boys were absent for about 522,000 days. That in the first term. And girls were absent for about 541,000 days.
Okay.
In the first term. So we've got fairly equal numbers. But interestingly, if we look at it as a proportion, we actually see that because there are less boys, boys have higher levels of absenteeism
than girls.
Than girls, at least in the Western Cape for the first term of 2016. So that's an interesting stat, which maybe starts to challenge our idea and understanding of how this issue and how this problem is affecting girls.
And especially if we're talking about a certain living standard measure or no-fee schools and so on, we have to consider this record keeping and its integrity. How reliable is it when you think of conditions in rural areas? Is this data being collected as rigorously as, say, it is in certain urban schools?
Absolutely. And the other issue which we looked at when it came to this topic is we spoke to Dignity Dreams, which is an NGO that works in this space. And they told us something quite interesting, which is that they do encounter girls who don't have access to sanitary pads or basic hygiene products, who can't afford to buy them, who it's just not a reality in their life. But what they find, and obviously this is anecdotal, we can't say it represents the whole experience in South Africa, but they said that most girls will make a plan to go to school. And that's quite sad, because it means in most cases they're using products which aren't the optimum products. They're using socks, they're using newspapers, they're using rags, and they are making a plan to go to school even when they are facing enormous challenges.
So, Kate, how useful are assumptions, and at what point is it useful to rely then on assumptions in relation to in answering such questions?
So I think when we look at this case where we saw activists who clearly had very good intentions, drawing attention to an issue which, you know, sounds like it does need a lot of attention and interrogation and action. These sort of estimates, which are based on assumptions, they can draw attention to the topic. This made headlines. There were pictures. It was a very impactful intervention. But you have to, and you have to ask this with all stats that you see, how is this going to help us, A, understand the problem? Because what we've seen here is that the problem as it is presented is actually much larger than it is according to the statistics. So if we're talking about allocation of resources, we want to make sure that a problem is allocated the right amount of resources. If we use the statistic of 7 million and we pump millions and millions into helping these 7 million girls, when actually there are about 2.5 million girls who could be affected, that money isn't being optimally used and it would be wasted. And maybe there are other challenges which are actually keeping more girls out of school. Maybe more girls are having to stay home to look after relatives, or maybe there's violence and there's gang warfare in an area, which means that girls don't feel safe walking to school. And if we want to help girls go to school and stay in school, we have to accurately understand the problem so that we don't waste the very valuable and limited resources that we have.
Absolutely. So what's the conclusion?
So the conclusion that 7 million South African schoolgirls miss school every month because of a lack of sanitary pads is incorrect. There just aren't enough schoolgirls for this to be true. And once you exclude the number who are too young to be menstruating, and you exclude those who are going to fee-paying schools where they'd likely have the resources, we're looking at about 2.6 million schoolgirls that could be affected and would need some sort of assistance to stay in school.
And that's still a huge number.
Absolutely. So pointing out an accurate figure, if it turns out that it's lower than the figure that it's thought to be, this isn't to say it's not a problem. We're not saying, oh, don't worry about them. It's not 7 million, it's 2.6. It's saying accurate information is important, because if we know accurately how many there are, we can help them without wasting resources.
And if we take this further, so we've looked at the South African picture, taken a look, broken down the context in South Africa. And we then look at, on the continent, broadly speaking, what the picture looks like. Because there are also figures that have been shared on that front as well, that 1 in 10 African girls miss school because of menstruation.
Absolutely. So you can see, this is obviously something that people really care about, and rightly so. Yeah. And we see a common thread, you know, a statistic being shared widely. This was a stat that was shared by the World Bank, the World Economic Forum, many media houses in South Africa, the Open Society Initiative, The Guardian in the UK. It had done the rounds. And when I looked into this, it took a lot of work to track it down. It was like pulling string and going in circles, and you get sent back to the same person. And the moment that starts happening, you just know that's a red flag. Something is wrong.
I swear, you've got to love it, because it really, as you said, this is just this endless string.
It's string. We often joke that when we see one of our researchers going down a rabbit hole, we have to grab them by the feet or they disappear and we never see them again. But what gave the statistic quite a lot of credence and authority was that it was cited widely by both UNICEF and UNESCO. Whew. But worryingly, they both attributed it to each other. So you had a bit of back and forth, and eventually we determined that no one knew where the statistic came from. And we ended up speaking to experts in the field who work in menstrual hygiene and in girls' education across the continent. And they said that they've seen it everywhere, the stat. They think it's a broad thumbsuck, an estimate, but it's definitely not based on any research. Mm-hmm. And the problem when it comes to this topic, especially in many African countries, is there just hasn't been research conducted at that. If we look at the situation in South Africa, where we for the most part have a lot more money and time Absolutely. And resources to Absolutely. Investigate this topic compared to some African countries, there just haven't been studies. And when there have been studies, they've been very small, and they definitely aren't representative of the continent as a whole.
So which studies were you able to find, as limited as it may have been, to kind of sketch a rough picture?
So we found a couple. So we can start in Ethiopia, and there was a study of 39 schoolgirls. So this is definitely not a large sample. It's not a picture of the country, let alone the continent. But we have to remember, these are 39 young women, and their experiences do matter. Mm-hmm. And what the study showed was that 40% of them had missed school in the last 30 days because of their period. What I found to be quite sad, and what really caught my eye, was that 90% of them reported that they didn't have a place at school where it was safe and clean for them to adequately maintain their hygiene once when they were on their period. Mm-hmm. So that's the one sort of idea we have. We can go to Ghana, where 95.2% of students in rural villages reported missing school because of their period.
95.2%.
And you can contrast it then to students in peri-urban villages, where the figure drops to 20.2%. Yeah, yeah. So there's obviously a very different provision of resources and facilities in those two areas that's rural having a huge effect. Yeah. We can go to Niger, where 35% of schoolgirls sometimes missed school because of their period, and the figure was 21% in Burkina Faso. And then in Sierra Leone in 2012, there was a study of 319 schoolgirls, so a little bit of a bigger sample.
Yeah.
And what that study found was that 10% of those girls reported missing school in the last 3 months because of their period. So there we see a little bit of the 1 in 10 coming out.
Yeah.
But again, this is in one country and not the continent as a whole.
Okay.
And if we look at a breakdown, we see that on average they missed 4.2 days per month because of their period. And the reasons they gave for not coming to school was that they were in pain, they either feared leaking at school, or they were ashamed because they were on their period.
All right. Let's take this call from Cherie, calling from Germiston. Hello, Cherie.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good, how are you? Welcome to the conversation.
Thank you so much. I'm so interested to be listening in. All right, so can I just my way in on your
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so you are correct in what you're saying. Is it Kate?
Yes.
I got it right. Kate, you're correct in what you're saying about the numbers. So let me just explain who I am. I'm the founder and CEO of Palesa Pads. Mm-hmm. We make reusable sanitary pads, and we also arrange for donations for schoolgirls of these sanitary pads. So I did quite a lot of research into this. I had one sponsor who wanted to sponsor the whole of South Africa. They changed their mind. But in doing so, I did all the calculations that you are talking about now. And you're right, there aren't 7 million schoolgirls. But what I did see, and this is something I wanted to point out with your numbers, is that if you look at, forgive me, I was actually writing it down and I missed the last evening. You said there was 2.6 million schoolgirls between which grade and which grade that needed help?
So 2.6 million schoolgirls who are aged between 9 and 20 and attend no-fee schools who could be in that situation.
Okay, all right, that is, okay, cool. So that's right from about grade 4 onwards.
Yeah.
So what I've looked at, if you look at the numbers, because we were looking at a donation of about 430,000 girls a year, and that gave me 4.6 million girls over a 10-year period. And this is something I want to point out about those statistics, is the situation today might be 2.6 million girls, in that if we all applied our minds to it and everybody threw their money at this, we could resolve all these, you know, give pads to all these girls today. But every day there are new girls starting their periods. We won't get to those 2.6 million girls this year. Next year, there are new girls coming of age. And the following year, there are more girls coming of age. And that's why this is a moving target, because if you look at it, and my number is, for what it's worth, 4683, so 4.6 million, 82,063 girls between who are currently in grade 7 and will be in grade 7, starting grade 8, within the next 10 years. And that's not even including the high school girls. If you include them, it's a bit more, 2.3 million high school girls. So when you look at that number, we can't let the population think that it's not that, not such a big deal. It is a big deal. And the thing is, the 2.6 million is growing every day.
All right.
Every year, Sri, new girls starting their period.
I do want to make space for Kate to comment, but also I think it's important to have heard it the way it was. Maybe also go back to that podcast, because this is by no way at all of saying that this is a small problem. Hence, we're calling it a crisis, and even acknowledged that even the 2.6 is still a very high number. What do you think of her logic?
Yeah, I think I'd need to look at her figures, but I think what the point she's making is right. As in 2016, it was around 2.6 million. Our cohorts at school are growing. We are going to be having more kids at school every year. And that's something we need to take into account. But it's definitely a problem and it needs to be addressed. But the basis of that has to be accurate and transparent information.
Absolutely. But Sri, keep doing the great work. That was Sri from Palesa Pads, reusable pads. That's what she supplies. One from Takane Chilwane is saying that what your guest is saying is true. It happens exactly like that. I used to make a plan so that I wouldn't miss school. At the end of the day, I had to go up against brave stairs because of the smell that comes with that. It was so unpleasant. I'm actually very emotional right now. So the reasons that you cited, the shame, the worry about leakage, being on your cycle, and as she says, the looks that other people then give you, was absolutely traumatic for her as a child. And we those are still very important narratives, regardless of the number.
Absolutely.
Right. Another one says from Justice for All, that's Unati, saying, thank goodness we've been told too many lies about the numbers of girls missing school because of menstruation. But it also doesn't take away the fact that it's a very real problem in our society that we have to provide for adequately. As always, Kate, in another 2 weeks.
Absolutely.
Right. So there is a query, an inquiry. One says, how do I contact Africa Check to get a particular fact checked? You can do so through us, azania@702.co.za, so that we pass it on to Kate and keep it as part of our conversations. And that's what we want you to do. We want you to be our eyes, our ears, whenever these facts and figures are shared or these claims are made. This is the platform for you to put them forward, for them to be interrogated. So africacheck.org.
Absolutely. Or tweet us at Africa Check. We are ready and waiting.
Fantastic. That was Kate Wilkinson from Africa Check.